Hallelujah. Turn with me in your Bible to Mark chapter 5. This morning, we're just going to do a little exercising of our faith. Hallelujah. Because we're faith people. Why are we faith people? Because God is a faith God. The Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please Him. We can say that without faith, it's impossible to really receive from Him. Everything is contingent on this side of heaven by our faith. Now we know, and I love the scripture in Psalm 119, verse 89, that says, "Oh Lord, your word is settled forever in heaven." I mean, in heaven, the word of God, it's ever living, it's ever present, it never changes, it never doesn't work, it never fails. Come on, it's ever established, it's ever settled, forever and ever. Heaven and earth are going to pass away, but the word of God will remain. It's settled in heaven. Your prosperity is settled in heaven. The key is you have to get that what's settled in heaven down into your own account, into your own life, and we do that by faith. Faith is now is the substance of the things that we don't see, the things that we hope for, but now we get them. Now we have them. Now we receive them. Although we hope for them and we don't see them yet, when we believe that we have them, then they manifest. Prosperity becomes real. Life becomes real. Healing becomes real. These things are not just, they're not just like by the flip of a coin. The Word of God just wasn't written just for some people and not for others. Listen, the Word of God never changes. It always works. It will work for any person, in any place, in any situation, in any country, anywhere, everywhere, the Word of God will work. If we can believe. If we can believe. And so your confession needs to be quite often. How about at least every day, "I'm a believer. I'm a believer. I'm a believer. I believe God. I believe the Word of God. When God says it, I hear it. That's it. That settles it. I believe it. It's done." Are we at Mark chapter 5? So this morning we're going to do a little exercising of our faith. Hallelujah. I don't always think it's right for the preacher. Come on. The preacher to come and do all the work. Right? Right? So we're going to do some things together this morning with our faith along the lines of healing. Hallelujah. Yeah, I said it, along the lines of healing. Right in the middle of the pandemic, right in the middle of all kind of crazy stuff, God is still the healer. Jesus is still the healer. Nothing has changed. Nothing of His word has changed. Nothing. We must settle that. We must settle it. Mark chapter 5, are you there? We're going to read the account in verses 25 through 34 about the woman with the issue of blood. Hallelujah. So let's start in verse 25. It says, "Now a woman had a flow of blood for 12 years." Wow, that's a long time. That's a pretty long time to have something. "And she had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had had and was no better, but rather grew worse." So here you find a woman in a pretty bad situation. I mean, it wasn't like she sat around and just kind of tossed up her hands and said, "Hey, I got this, and that's just it. I'm going to have to live with it." I'm really thankful that she didn't do that. Instead, she was going after something. She was seeking something. She was seeking relief. She was seeking the remedy. And she was trying anywhere and everywhere. At first, she was trying anywhere and everywhere, looking to anything and everyone that could possibly help her. So for years she had done this, spent all her money, much effort, really trying to get something to happen. You ever been there? Have you ever been there? I'm not sure. Because there's really something about this woman, what you're going to see about her is she's got a very desperate attitude. Like she was desperate. I mean, to still after 12 years be finding some, spending all your money, doing everything you could to find a relief. I find a lot of Christians that give up. We can't give up. Listen, we're going to have to get desperate with God. Desperate, spiritual desperation is what causes you to press past all the obstacles and press past all the things that are standing in the way. I'm not talking about spiritual desperation of just like being a beggar. But I'm talking about being so spiritually desperate that you're not going to settle until you get what you came for, until you get what you know what belongs to you. Guess what belongs to you? Healing and health belong to you. It's already been paid. It's already been purchased. It's already been provided. In heaven, it's already settled. It's already in your account. But we're going to have to get desperate. This morning, as I was thinking about this, really that part's not in my notes, but this morning that word kind of came up. About a week or so ago, God got me on this little thing with him about spiritual desperation, what spiritual desperation really is, and how necessary, how it's really a part of our faith, because that's the thing that's going to cause you to pursue God. I looked up this morning the definition of desperation, and it says to be so desperate that usually results in an unusual or radical behavior. When's the last time you've been like that with something of God? Amen. I'm not talking about being casual. I'm not talking about saying, oh, I want to be healed. Oh, I want to be healed. Everybody wants to be healed, but are you desperate? I mean, are you going to really go after it? I mean, are you going to lay aside everything? Are you going to stay up some sleepless nights working, contending? Desperation is determined. It's not begging, it's determined. It's like we have to acknowledge that Jesus has done some things for us. Jesus has purchased some things for us, but we have an adversary. We have obstacles, even our own self, even our own soul, even things of our life that want to try to stand in the way. We're going to have to get so desperate that we get determined. That we get a look in our eye, not a defeated look, not a sit back and say, well, it must not work for me. Oh, how stout art thou, words against God. How dare you say it won't work? We're talking about the word of God. Yes, healing will work if you're desperate, if you're determined. If you're like, I'm not going to settle, I'm not giving up, I'm not letting any excuse stand in my way, I'm determined. God, here I am. God, here I am. God, I'm getting it. God, I'm getting healed. God, I will be healed. God, I'm not leaving. Come on. Desperation like that is persistent. This woman had something for 12 years. Verse 27, when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. When she heard about Jesus, listen, if you're going to want to get healed, you're going to have to hear something about Jesus. And maybe you're going to have to hear something about Jesus more than once. Because faith comes by hearing. It doesn't say having heard. Faith doesn't come by just having heard it one time. And this is where I find there's so much information out there. There's so many sermons out there. We've heard this time and time and time again. But listen, we've got to keep our spiritual ear open, our spiritual ear in tune so that we're hearing it. Oh, we're hearing it. Jesus said, wow, Jesus said it. You're going to have to hear something of the word. Do you know that the word hear actually means to imply to do something? That's why we're not just hearers of the word, but we're doers of the word. If you just hear things and hear things and hear things and don't really take those things to heart and don't begin to apply those things and live those things, what will happen is you'll become deceived. That's what the Bible says, isn't it? James chapter 1, chapter... Huh? That if we hear, but we don't become a doer of the word, that we'll get deceived. Did you know that deception is not like always something like really like a dark thing, like we're going into gross sin? Do you know that deception is just that you think that what's happening in your body is that there's an excuse for it to not get well? That's deception. That's deception. Come on, we can't be deceived. These are not the days to be deceived. Listen, a little deception here, a little deception there, before you know it, like you're way off. You know, everybody that comes to the knowledge of Jesus always thinks, well, here I am and I know. But listen, if you let deception creep in, deception will mess with you. And just about the time you start thinking that, you know, whatever it is I have, well, it's no big deal. I can live with it. Or you know, for some reason it's not working. And then just more and more. And before you know it, you'll be messed up. I mean, you're certainly, your body's going to be messed up. Listen, Jesus didn't come so that our bodies had to be messed up. He got his body all messed up, whipped up on the cross. Stripped down, I mean marred to the point where you couldn't even recognize him, so that your body doesn't have to be like that. We have to believe that. And listen, I say it with a smile because it's a wonderful thing to be able to believe God that healing is for me. Guess what? Healing is in God. And guess what? God is in me. Healing is in God and God is in you. So guess what's in you? Healing is already in you. So she heard about Jesus and she came behind him in the crowd and she touched his garment. She touched his garment. I've often looked at that word and there's so many spiritual things you could say about the touch. You know, it's a touch of faith. It's a spiritual touch. But I doubt that really when she got up to him, Brian, could you stand up? If Brian was Jesus and here was the woman, after 12 years and spending all her money and being in really bad shape, and finally she'd heard of Jesus, so it must have meant she heard something good. Something good was going to happen. Something good was going to happen, right? And so it says she touched him, pressing through the crowds and everything, breaking every rule of the law. She wasn't supposed to be out of her house amongst the people, but she finally gets to Jesus. I doubt she just went. I doubt that. Do you think that? I mean, I think that would have been enough. I mean, if something would have happened and all she got was just a, it's enough. Because, I mean, the power of God, listen, the smallest dose of the power of God is enough to eradicate everything. But I doubt her touch was like that. I bet her touch was like this. I'm taking hold. I'm latching on. Thank you. To the garment. To Jesus. What she was latching onto was Jesus. She went after Jesus. First of all, you have to know that when she heard something, she began her search and her look upon someone. She said, there is someone. That day she wasn't thinking, well, I'm going to go by the store and get some medicine on the way and I'm going to... No, she had a one intent, determined, persistent focus, and it was on that someone being Jesus. Come on, we're going to have to look to that someone. Now, I don't have a problem with doctors. I don't have a problem with going to the doctor. I don't have a problem with medicine. I don't have a problem with anyone. Any of that. But if we're going to cut it down to what the Bible talks about this morning, which is healing through God, we're going to have to set our sight. All that other stuff can help you for a moment till your desperation rises up and causes you to get that gaze upon Jesus. Yeah, I'm looking, I'm going to get to the someone, that one, Jesus, that can heal me, that can help me. Listen, she was looking to Jesus. She wasn't looking to anything of herself. She wasn't looking to her own faith. She wasn't looking to healing itself. She was just looking to get to Jesus. And so when she got to him, she wanted to touch him. But Jesus is the one. Let me tell you what Jesus says. We need to believe that Jesus is the one that will heal you. Amen. Jesus is the one that will heal you. Exodus 15, verse 26, the Lord was speaking here. He said, for I am the Lord who heals you. Translation says, for I, the Lord, am your physician. Basic translation says, I, the Lord, am your life giver. Young's translation says, I, Jehovah, am healing thee. Knox translation says, I, the Lord, will bring thee only health. Smith Goodspeed translation says, for I, the Lord, make you immune to diseases and sicknesses. Glory to God. She wasn't looking anywhere else or to anything else. And she was willing to do whatever it took. That's what we're going to have to do. It's going to have to be the same for us. If we need to get healed, We're going to have to be just like this woman. And we don't have to wait. Maybe you're already there. It's okay. If it's a huge thing, it doesn't matter. Jesus will still heal you. But if it's a little thing, don't just settle. Don't just settle. This is where you have to use your faith and exercise your faith and get the victory. Get the victory. Run up the small mountain so that someday or sometime when a bigger mountain appears, you already know how to get up the mountain. Or just make the mountain crumble. Either way, right? Because your faith can move mountains, right? Your faith can cause everything to get out of the way. Hallelujah. So we're going to have to look to Jesus and we're going to have to do it ourselves like this woman. Did you notice that she wasn't looking to anybody else? She wasn't calling her friends. She didn't ask for a ride. She didn't ask for directions. She didn't ask for help. Listen, I understand that sometimes we, me and you, can be God's instrument to help people get healed. I understand that. I thank God for that. The Word says that. We ought to believe that. There's times when that's going to work. But there's also times when you're going to have to be able to get to God yourself. There's going to be times when God's going to require you, for you to be desperate enough for you to do whatever it takes to get to Him. I remember one time years ago when it was at my first church, and I had just very recently be asked to be part of the prayer altar ministry, you know, and that's a big deal. That's a big deal when you stand down here. The responsibility to know that people are looking to you for you to help them connect with the Lord. I took that very responsibly, like the people here do. And there was a girl, and I was standing there, and I looked up, and I there was a girl coming down the aisle, and the Lord spoke to me as she was walking up. He said, "Now she's going to come to you with a problem. And she's looking to you for you to help give her the answer." And I was thinking, okay, I can do that. I have God in me. I have the Spirit of God in me. I can help her. God will tell me whatever's next. And the Lord said, "And I'm not going to tell you what to tell her." He said, "Because she's going to have to seek me herself. She's going to have to seek me herself for her own answer." Now, why did God do that? Not because He was trying to withhold something from her. Not because He didn't love her. He said He had the answer. He said if she would seek Him, He would give her the answer. Sometimes we can't rely on other people. We have to get spiritually desperate enough where we can go after something ourselves. But we have to understand that Jesus is the healer. He is the answer. I just want to read, you don't have to turn there, but I want to read to you Isaiah 53, verses 4 through 5. Speaking of Jesus, it says, "Surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed Him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But He was bruised for our transgressions. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement for our peace was upon Him. And by His stripes we are healed." This is what I wrote in my Bible. Surely, absolutely, He has borne, carried, lifted away, and removed far from me all of my griefs, calamities, diseases, anxieties, weaknesses. And He carried my sorrows, anguishes, sicknesses, pains, afflictions, and griefs. But He was wounded outwardly for my transgression, and He was bruised inwardly for my iniquity. And the chastisement, the correction for my peace, my shalom, my health, my prosperity, my completeness, my wholeness, my fullness was upon Him, and by His stripes I'm healed and made whole. That's the Word of God. That's the Word of God. Now, what we see with this woman is that when she went after Jesus, she went after Him. I mean, she was like, "I'm going to get to Him because I know that in Him is the healing that I need." So when she touched Him, when she took hold of Him, what we have to understand is she didn't do that naturally. There was a natural movement. There was an outward physical grabbing of the garment, but it wasn't just a physical touch. It wasn't just a physical, natural grabbing of His garment. Because what happened is the Bible says that when she touched Him, power, healing virtue went out of Him. And Jesus knew that it went out of Him. And he turned around to his disciples and he said, "Who touched me?" But listen what the disciples said. The disciples said, they said, "What are you talking about? All kind of people are touching you." Many people were making a natural touch. Many people were physically grabbing at him. But her touch was spiritual. Her touch was of her heart. Her touch was inside her. The belief that she had, because she had said, "If I will but touch him, I will be healed." She believed that. When she had heard of Jesus the healer coming about, she just said to herself, she believed it, she said it, "If I can just touch him." So when she touched him, although it was a physical touch, it was a spiritual touch that caused power to come out of him. We're going to have to touch Jesus spiritually. Well, that's a good thing, right? Because like we can't touch him physically right now, right? Because we can't see him. Because, like, I mean, unless you go to heaven, even that's spiritual. It's a spiritual thing, though. But we have to touch him spiritually. But when we touch Jesus with our spirit, when we touch Jesus with our heart, when we touch Jesus with our faith, we will be made well. The end of this scripture in Mark chapter 5, it says here, let me go back and read to you, picking back up in 27. He said, "For she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd, touched his garment, for she said, 'If I may only touch his clothes, I will be made well.' Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, 'Who touched my clothes?' But his disciples said to him, 'You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me?' But he looked around to see her who had done this thing." Who had done what? Who had touched him spiritually. Who had touched him with her faith. "But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the truth. And he said to her, 'Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction.'" Hallelujah. So it was her touch of faith that made her well. The power of God was what made her well, but it was as a result of her faith. It was a result of her touching Jesus in her heart, with her faith, with her belief that when she touched him, that he would heal her. Jesus healed the woman with the issue of blood. Now, the Bible tells us that Jesus is the Word. Doesn't it say that? John chapter 1, verse 1, it says this, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And then John 1:14 goes on to tell us, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us," referring to Jesus, saying that Jesus is the Word. Do you understand that, what that means? Just for a moment in your heart, I want you to ponder that. Jesus is the Word. Jesus, the one who is seated in heaven at the right hand of the Father, Jesus is the Word of God. He is the Word. Jesus and the Word are one. That means that every time you speak the Word, you're releasing Jesus on the scene. It's the same as if Jesus physically... When you say the Word, it's as if Jesus physically was there present. I remember when I got a revelation of this. One night I was laying in bed years ago, just laying in bed, and I was reading the Word, and I got to this scripture, John 1:1. You know, I'd read that scripture many times, loved that scripture. I was reading it, and I just thought, well, I'm just going to ponder that a moment. And I just began to say, well, Jesus is the Word. Jesus is the Word. Jesus is the Word. That means when I say a prayer and say the Word, that means that Jesus is there. It's not like I'm just praying a word. It's not like I'm just saying words. It's like Jesus is there. It's like, I got so excited, I jumped up out of my bed and I began to run around. Jesus is the Word. Amen. Jesus is the Word. Amen. Guess what? I've got this Word with me everywhere. Physically, I can carry it with me everywhere I go. I can have it with me when I sleep. I can have it with me when I wake up. I can have it with me when I have a problem. I can have it with me when the days aren't looking so good. Come on, I can have it. I can have this word. This word was given for me, and the word is Jesus. Amen. So what the scripture tells us is that if the woman touched Jesus and was healed, and Jesus is the word, what it means is that if you will touch the word this morning, you will be healed. Glory to God! How exciting is that? All we have to do is touch the word. All we have to do is take hold of the word. All we have to do is grab the word. But I want to tell you, the same things apply. Just like the woman was not touching Jesus with just a physical touch, you're going to have to touch the word with something beyond your mind. This is why the word doesn't work for many people. It's not that the word doesn't work. It's that you're not touching the word or taking hold of the word spiritually. You're doing it with your mind. Guess what? Even though your mind is on the inside of you, and even though your mind is part of your soul and your soul's going to live forever, your mind is not how you connect with God. Your mind is not how you receive from the Holy Spirit. Your mind is not how you get revelation. Your mind is not how you receive things from God. And so that's why many people read the Word and read, they're just reading the Word. They're just reading the Word. They're reading it with their mind. They're just reading it with their, you know, you're just going to read some of the Word. We need to ponder for a moment. We need to think, I'm fixing to read the Word. I'm fixing to be with Jesus. When I read this Word, this is Jesus. Jesus right here speaking with me. Jesus right here with me. This is holy. This is powerful. It's the Word of God. And we need to read it sometimes till we get past here. Come on. If she touched Jesus and got healed, I want to tell you that you can touch the Word and get healed. You don't have to have some way out over the top. We can, but you don't have to have some way out over the top encounter with God. You're not waiting for something else. You have the Word. It's simply in the Word. Healing is in the Word. One time years ago, it was when we were like two buildings ago. The very first building, I remember, I don't remember what was wrong with me, but I had something, some sort of a little ailment. And I was asking the Lord, Lord, I need to be healed. You know, Lord, what do I do? Well, that's a good question to ask. Amen. But if the Lord doesn't tell you something to do, then we already know what we should do, right? We should go to the Word. But I was sitting there that day in the office, and it was a Wednesday, and I was asking the Lord, now, Lord, what do I do? You know, I know there's a lot of ways to be healed. You know, we'd be healed by the anointing. We'd be healed by the laying on of hands. There's all kinds of ways to be healed. So I was asking the Lord. Sometimes, you know, as spiritual people, we just make things so complicated. Like I was putting pressure on the Lord. Lord, tell me how to be healed. And so I was sitting there and I wouldn't hear nothing. I mean, nothing. So I got up and that night I went to church. It was a Wednesday night. Pastor Chaz was preaching. I hadn't said anything to him. He didn't know anything was wrong with me. He didn't know I was asking God. And he got up that night and he said, if you need to be healed, just speak the word. Amen. So I was healed that night in church just reading the word. Amen. You don't need something else. All that other stuff is extra. Those things come by the leading of the Spirit. Those things, all you need is the Word. And if you will put your attention on the Word, if you will anchor yourself on the Word, if you will get desperate through the Word, by the Word, saying, I'm going to be healed by the Word, I'm going to be healed by the Word, then you can be healed by the Word. You can be healed this morning by the Word. The Word, we're talking the Word of God. Did you know that there's creative God power in the Word of God to do what it says? I'm talking about creative God power. The Word of God, doesn't it say in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, the Word of God is living, it's alive, it's powerful. Weymouth's translation said this, God's message is full of life and power. The Word is full of life and power. When you read it, if you'll read it from your heart, believing it, if you'll read it from your heart, not your head. Jordan's translation said, God's word is alive with energy. Resurrection power type. I'm talking about put you quaking under. It's in the word. We don't have to chase down the anointing. It's in the word. Jesus Christ, the anointed one, is the word. The anointing is in the word. The power is in the word. The power to heal is in the word. So when we touch God's word in faith with our heart, then life is activated. And healing can come. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 4. The word will heal you. Amen. It will heal you. Absolutely. The word is God's medicine. We need to touch it or take hold of it because it's medicine to our flesh. How many of you have ever been to a doctor and gotten a prescription? Come on. Yeah. Everybody's been to a doctor at some point and gotten a prescription. And you know, it's written on the bottle, you know, and usually they tell you before you leave, but it's like written on there, you know, how many times you're supposed to take it, what you're supposed to do with it. Well, listen, God's word is medicine to us. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 and 22. My son, give attention to my words. Oh, I'm sorry. What did that say? My son, give attention to all the praise and worship songs. Oh, that section didn't like this? Oh. Son, give attention to all the different messages and things that people are just... If majority of your time is spent you praising the Lord with just through song, you're not doing the scripture. You're deceived here. If majority of your time is just turning on the sermons and listening to various preachers talk in and where there's no accountability, you're driving down the car, you're just listening, you're just halfway, you're missing something. You're missing the Word of God, which is where life is. It says, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. What's health to our flesh? The word. How do we miss this? You know why? Because it takes some desperation to get healed from the word. It takes some of your time not watching TV, not being on Facebook. It takes some of your sleep, some of your going and doing other things. It takes you being desperate enough to get in the Word. It takes you having a revelation that this really is the living Word of God, powerful, alive, that it'll heal you. You're going to have a revelation of that, and the only way you're going to have a revelation of that is really to get in the Word and read the Word and study the Word and meditate the Word and confess the Word until the Word becomes alive in you. The Word of God is God's medicine. It's the supernatural. God has already given you a prescription for getting well. It's like we're running to the Lord all the time, Lord, Lord, what do I do? And the Lord's like, take the medicine. It's amazing to me how we run to the doctor, and, you know, doctors are just human. I mean, I'm very thankful for doctors. I'm thankful for their education. I'm thankful for their intelligence. I'm thankful for their diligence, for their research. But listen, they're just human. But yet we'll run to the doctor, believe what they say. We'll believe the doctor's report way easier than we believe God's report. And then we get the prescription from the doctor, and we're like, hey, the doctor said, oh, no, I can't do it. I have to take this medicine. I've had people tell me they couldn't fast because they have to take medicine. There is a way to fast somehow with whatever kind of medicine you have to take. But we'll go home, and I mean, we are absolutely taking that medicine. We're taking that just like it said. We're not missing any prescriptions because we believe that the taking of it is going to help us. And it should. In natural medicine, there are agents to bring about natural healing. Thank God for that. But listen, in the Word of God, there is supernatural agents. There's agents in it to bring about supernatural healing. if we would just take the medicine. We got to take the medicine. We can't leave it on our bookshelf. Grab it on Sundays. Grab it on Wednesdays. And think that's enough. God's words contain within it the capacity, the energy, the ability, the power, and the nature to affect a healing in your body. And I don't care what your body has, what your body is saying. Many people will say, yeah, I believe in healing. I'm believing to be healed, but they're not taking the medicine. God's given us a prescription. Psalm 107, verse 20, He sent His word. God sent His word, and He healed them, and He delivered them from their destructions. Fenton's translation says, He sent out His word, and it healed, and from their corruptions it freed. Have you ever had I know everybody here has had a computer of some sort. Have you ever had it where you're, all of a sudden, you know, your computer, the data on your computer gets corrupted? It's like something happens in your files, and before you know it, I mean, it's like a bug got in it. Come on, it's like a virus got in it. I mean, now things are wanker-jawed. Who knows what that word means? Okay. Things are messed up. Things are corrupted. They're not working right. There's like little glitches. I mean, sometimes it just starts out, and it's like real slow, and you hit something, and it's like, circle, you know. 5 minutes later, circle. You know, the files get corrupted. Things get bad. And really, the truth is, a lot of those things, some things, I mean, just instantly messes up everything. But sometimes it's just a little something. But if you don't get the little something fixed, then before you know it, you know, the longer you go, it's just everything is messed up. And so what happens when you do that? You just throw your computer away and say, oh, that's it. I'm just never going to use the computer again. Is that what you do?
No.
No, you look for the solution, right? For the computer, you go on. I mean, you're looking for the debugging programs. You're looking for the antivirus program, something that you can install, something that's going to restore your hard drive. Come on, something that's going to uncorrupt all your files. Come on, something that's going to debug your data. Listen, it's the same way in your body. God has given you the antivirus program through the Word. Just stick the Word in. Just put the Word in and debug yourself. Come on, just put the Word in and cause all the corruption, the glitches, the malfunctions to go out. It's really that simple. He's given us a program. And guess what? It's free. I mean, we don't even have to spend $19.99 or $39.99 or $59.99 or how big is your problem? It doesn't matter. It's free. It's free to you and I. It wasn't free to Jesus. It wasn't free to God. But it's free to Jesus. We just got to stick the Word in our heart. Just got to stick the Word. Listen, stop trying to figure out if it's going to work for you. Stop trying to figure out if you have enough faith. Stop trying. Just take the medicine. Just read the Word and believe it. Just confess the Word and believe it. Just meditate the Word and believe it. Just say the Word and believe it. Come on, it's right there. All we have to do is touch the Word. You know, this woman in verse 28, she said, if only I may touch His clothes, I may be made well. She said what she needed. She said what she believed. It doesn't really say here how many times she said it. She might have said it once, but she might have said it a whole bunch of times. She might have been walking around her house saying, you know, when I touch Jesus, I'm going to be healed. When I touch Jesus, I'm going to be healed. Come on, there's something about the connection of you saying it in your faith. And that's what I want to talk about, what we're going to exercise this morning. Because we're going to have to get it out of our head down into our heart. There are two sides to faith and saying it, and they must be done in this order. Number one is you say it to believe it. Now, I'm not talking about head knowledge believing, because if I ask anybody in this room, do you believe that you already are healed, everyone will say yes. Because we have a head knowledge. We know the word says that, so we know it's true. The goal is to get it from your head down into your heart. That's called faith. Getting it from your head down into the heart, a real revelation of it in your spirit, where you believe it more than what your body's telling you, where you believe it more than how your body feels, where you believe it more than what the doctor's report says, where you believe it more than what your family history's been, where you really, really believe it down. And the way that happens is faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. You have to hear the word over and over and over again. And so every time you say it, you hear it. Every time you say it, you hear it. Amen. The Lord has redeemed me and I'm healed from sickness. Oh, I just heard that. The Lord has redeemed me and I'm healed from sickness. I just heard that. The Lord has redeemed me and I'm healed from sickness. And here's the truth. At some point, that knowledge is going to drop out of your head, boom, into your heart, and you're going to know it. Amen. One time I was dealing with a revelation that I felt like I needed. And so I had come up with this little saying that I had written down from the Word of God. And I had that saying everywhere. I had it on my mirror where I got dressed in the morning. I had it on my refrigerator. I had it on my desk at work. I had it on my computer at work. I had it everywhere, and I was constantly saying it. I mean, just saying it over and over and over and over and over. And if you were to ask me, did I believe what I was saying? Of course I would have said yes, because I really did believe it. But I knew that I wasn't living out the reality of it yet, so I just kept saying it. And I remember one morning I got up, just one morning doing the daily discipline, staying consistent with what I knew to do, which was confess the word. I got up one morning and I looked at that thing, and on about the second line, it went from my head into my heart. It just went right there, boom. And all of a sudden, I believed it. I mean, I believed it. I mean, there was like no question. I mean, it was like settled. Nobody needed to convince me. There was no obstacle. There was no situation that could convince me that that wasn't true. I'm still living off that revelation. But what happened for me is I recognized when knowledge goes from your head down into your heart. I've told this story many times, but years ago I woke up one morning, didn't feel well, kind of had a headache, thought this is kind of weird. You know, I prayed, I did what I knew to do, went to work, felt bad all day, just wouldn't go away. Went home that night, you know, I started getting dizzy, I was really not well. I recognized this was not normal, something was really not well going on with me. And so I thought to drive to the store and get a blood pressure thing. I was going to take my blood pressure, and I took my blood pressure, and my blood pressure was high. And I'm like, now what do I do with this? You know what the devil said? Well, your daddy has high blood pressure. Your mama has high blood pressure. Your sister has high blood pressure. I'm not of that family line. I have a higher bloodline. I'm of the blood of Jesus. I'm of the family of God. Now, Lord, what do I do with this? I know what I need to do. I need to get a revelation of healing. I didn't instantly just go, blood pressure, be well. And then I knew in my heart, even though I believed healing, even though I'd been healed before, even though I'd seen lots of people healed, I knew all the scriptures, I knew I needed a greater revelation in that moment. Because why? Because I'd already said some prayers. I'd already spoken to it a couple of times. Nothing had happened. So I got out my healing scriptures. Forced myself to get up out of bed, dizzy, feeling bad, like I was going to throw up everywhere. No. I'd pace the floor and I would say the scripture out loud. I'd just say the scriptures. And when I'd get to the scripture, you know, I'm looking for the inside of me when it kind of lights up. You know, I call it Holy Ghost activity. You know, you can say a scripture or two, but then you get a warning and it's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I kind of like that one. It makes me feel good. You know, kind of, you know, you stay on that one. Then you stay on that one. But I would pace the floor until I would get so sick that I couldn't do it anymore. And so I would lay down, and then I would turn on Brother Hagin's healing stuff. And I would make myself listen while I lay in bed until I could force myself to get up out of bed again. Why? Because I was desperate. I was not going to go on blood pressure medication. I was not going to go to the doctor. I was not going to accept her. This is just my testimony. For me, this was it. This is where the rubber meets the road. For this is it. But I understood that I had to be desperate enough to do something with the Word of God. 2 days. 2 days. I didn't pray for myself. I didn't speak to my blood. I just quoted the Word, confessed the Word. Well, in the midst of that, somewhere on the second day, same thing happened. It went from here to here. I felt it. And I'm like, praise God, I am healed. Praise the Lord. My blood pressure is... So the first thing you're doing is you're saying it to believe it. So that you get the revelation and it gets down in your heart. And then you say it because you believe it. And when you say it because you believe it, now your faith has just gone out and you will be made well. Well, I spoke to my blood pressure. And I don't remember exactly what I did. I don't remember if I laid down and went to sleep. I don't remember whatever, but I just know that the next day I was completely normal. I haven't had, that was probably what, 15 years ago? Guess what? Jesus healed me through the Word. Through the Word. Jesus will heal you through the Word. All you got to do is know something of the Word, say the Word, and believe the Word. Some things like this. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 16, it said that Jesus he had healed all who were sick. Verse 17, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, He himself took our infirmities and he bore our sicknesses. You know what? If Jesus took my infirmities, if he bore them, that means I don't have to. Isn't that, we talk about the cross of Christ, and we say that at the cross, what happened? A substitution was made. Jesus stepped into my life, stepped into sin, stepped into sickness for me, that I might be moved over here into God's life. So if Jesus took it upon himself, if he carried it, if he bore it, it means I don't have to. I believe that. I absolutely believe that. What about this scripture? 1 Peter 2:24. It says, Who himself, Jesus, bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. The Bible says, by the stripes of Jesus, you were healed. If you were healed, it means you are healed. And just simply confessing that truth, oh, by the stripes of Jesus, I was already healed. And if I was healed and I was, then I am healed. Oh, you know what? By the stripes of Jesus, I was already healed. And if I was healed and I was healed, then I am healed. But, you know, you might have to say it more than 3 times. Amen. Take the medicine. Sometimes you have to take the medicine. Sometimes it's 3 days you have to take the medicine. Sometimes it's a week you have to take the medicine. How about Galatians 3:13 and 14? Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. There it is again. There's the exchange. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Through faith we receive this, that we're redeemed from the curse. Guess what's a curse? Any sickness. Guess what's a curse? Any disease. Guess what's a curse? Any malfunction. Anything that's not working right. That's part of the curse. Christ has redeemed me. Christ has redeemed you. Do we believe that? Do we believe it? It's medicine. And we'll believe it and say it and believe it and say it and believe it and say it, and then we believe it and say it, then we'll be healed. And we won't have curse, sickness, disease, and stuff in our body. How about Jesus saying this? Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Behold, that means I want you to look at this. I want you to take this to heart. Behold, I, Jesus, give you the authority and the power to tread on, to step over, to put underneath your feet serpents and scorpions, sickness, disease, pain, malfunction. And over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. So Jesus said, behold, I give you authority to tramp over serpents and scorpions, except when it's come from a long line of family tradition. Behold, I give you authority to trample over serpents and scorpions and over some things that the devil might try to do to you, depending on your age. Listen, the Bible does say that as we grow older, our outer man is perishing. So, you know, we can't expect when we're 60. Listen, if you're 60 or you're nearing 60 and you're trying to pray and believe that you think that you can look like you're 20. Come on, we're going to have to talk to you about praying amiss. Why? Because that's not important. I'm going to say it again. Listen up, all you young people. I'm talking to myself because I'm just 17, but you looking pretty or you looking good or you've been able to wear your whatever your clothes, you know, because you is not what's important. What is important is that your body is well. What is important is that you can have your youth renewed like the eagle, so that even though you're 60 years old, you don't have to walk around all crumbled over and tired and worn out and depleted and, you know, my body aches and pain. Listen, we weren't created for that. Your body was not in the image of Christ with the life of God in you. Your body was not created for that. That's why it's so contrary as a spiritual person to have that. We know we shouldn't have it, and we don't have to. Glory to God. Forget not all our benefits. How He heals us from all our diseases. How He redeems our life from destruction. How He crowns us with loving kindness. How He satisfies us with good things. Come on. How He renews our youth like the eagles. This is good stuff. This is it. It's the answer. It's the solution. The truth is, more word in your life translates to healing and health. And Pastor Chaz, he's preached it a whole bunch of times, a whole bunch of different ways, and a whole bunch of different messages. But really, your body will follow your spiritual life. I mean, come on, we just have to be honest here. If your body is ailing, you need more word. You need more time in the word. You need more confessing the word. You need more something of the word, because that word is, didn't Jesus say, my words are spirit and life? Didn't Jesus tell us that we weren't to live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God? There's life in the word of God. There's healing in the word of God. Romans 8 verse 2 says, for the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. When's the last time you walked around your house for 2 days just saying that? Have you ever just walked around your house saying these things when you don't even really need to be healed? You know, these are the prescriptions of God's health. This is how we maintain ourselves. Brother Hagin used to say that even though he had gotten healed, you know, of that incurable blood disease and his heart ailment and all that at the age of 17. Praise God for that. But that he had to keep his revelation, he had to keep his confession and the word alive. And he said that if he would go like a day or two without some type of confession from the word of God, he would feel the difference in his body. It doesn't take forever. It really doesn't take forever. I mean, just 10 minutes a day. Hallelujah. So this morning, we're just going to exercise our faith a little bit in the Word of God, in the healing arena. How are we going to do that? We're just going to work today, and I don't know how far you might get. You might just get healed right here in the moment, absolutely. You might get healed on your way home. You might wake up in the morning and recognize something changed. But we're going to do what the Word says. We're just going to say some things and hear some things so that we can believe some things, so that faith comes. So that faith comes for healing by the Word of God. Praise the Lord. I know this is going to sound really odd because it sounds really odd to me, and so I'm going to throw it out there because I know it was God. And does this mean anything to anybody? Free radical cell. Is there anybody that's had either something with the doctor or something in your body or a medication you're taking or something that has to do with that? Free radical cell. Anybody? Anybody? Now don't come up and tell me later if it was you. Like if it's you, just tell me now. Because the Lord kept speaking that to me last night. Free radical cell. So if it's not for anybody here today, I'll just pray about it until I know what to do with it. Okay? All right, I want everybody to stand up. Come on, we're going to exercise our faith a little bit. You've been sitting a little while. If you need to sit, that's okay, but if you can stand, so we're just going to take some of these scriptures and we're just going to start saying them. I'm going to have you follow me and we're just going to say some things because we believe them. Are you ready? Now listen, when we say it, I want you to say it with your whole heart. I want you to say it like you mean it. I want you to say it like it's medicine, all right? All right, say Jesus Himself.
Took my infirmities
and He bore my sicknesses. Jesus Himself, He took my infirmities. He removed them far from me. And He bore all my sicknesses. All my sicknesses. Any sickness, Jesus bore it. Jesus took it. So I'm not taking it. I'm not having it. I throw it off. I cast it off on Jesus. All sickness is off of me and on to Jesus. All disease is out of me and on to Jesus. Because by His stripes, I was healed. By His stripes, I was healed. By His stripes, I was healed. I was healed. I was healed. Listen, body. I was healed. The stripes healed me. The stripes of Jesus, they healed me. It healed me. I was healed. Already was. Already was. Already was. Healed. 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 I'm healed. I was healed. I am healed. I'm healed. Listen, body. I'm healed. Why? Because the stripes of Jesus, by His stripes, I am healed. Christ has redeemed me. Christ has redeemed me. He has redeemed in the past tense. He already did it. He already redeemed me. Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Christ has redeemed me from the curse of sickness, from the curse of pain, from the curse of disease. Christ has redeemed me. I am redeemed from every curse, from every sickness, from every sickness, from every sickness, from every disease, from every disease, from every pain, from every pain. I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. It can't touch me. It can't have me. It can't be in me. No, no, no. I'm redeemed. Listen, body. I'm redeemed. Christ has redeemed me. I reject any offense of the curse. I reject it. I resist it. I reject it. Any offense, anything of the curse. Out. Gone. Nada. Not here. Not having it. Not accepting it. I resist any offense of the curse. And I enforce life. I enforce life in my body, in my joints, in my organs, I enforce life, God life, healing, health. I enforce it in my body now. Body, you live. Body, you live. Body, you live healthy. Body, you live well. Because no curse, no sickness, no disease, no infirmity, no pain, no virus, no germ can be in me. Because Jesus said that He gave me power and authority. Jesus, the Son of God, the one who can't lie, the one who had all authority and all power, said He gave me power and authority. Jesus gave me power and authority to step on, to step over, to put under my feet, to trample on every sickness, every sickness, every disease, every pain, every affliction, every negative report, everything. I have authority over it to put it under me, and nothing can hurt me. Nothing gets to hurt me. Nothing at all. No sickness, no disease, no infirmity, no pain gets to hurt me. It can't hurt me. God said it can't hurt me. Jesus said it can't hurt me. It won't hurt me. I have power over all the power of the enemy. I have power over all sickness. I have power over all disease. I have power over all pain. I have power over everything in my body. I have power over my organs. I have power over my cells. I have power over my tissue. I have power over my muscles, my joints, my tendons, my ligaments. I have power, Jesus' power, over all my body, and nothing gets to hurt me. Nothing contrary to God's life gets to touch me. Why? Because I've touched Jesus. Because I touch His healing word. He said that anything I ask, He'll do it. He said anything I require in His name, He'll do it. He said anything I call forth in His name, He'll do it. So I call forth life. I call forth health. I call forth healing. I ask to be healed. I ask to be delivered. I ask to be made well. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. By His power. By His word. By His authority. I'm well. I'm well. I'm good. Ooh, I'm real good. Ooh, I'm real, real good. Oh, I'm good. My body is good. I feel great. I feel free. I feel alive. I feel young. I feel whole in the name of Jesus. Hey, body, you're good. Hey, body, you're well. And Jesus said, the word said, that I get to fulfill all the number of my days in good health. In good health. I'm fulfilling my days in good health. Tomorrow I wake up, my body is good. Tomorrow I go to bed, my body is good. Tomorrow I live, I feel good. My body feels good. I'm well. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me well. Has made me well. The operation of the Spirit of life has freed me from any operation of the law of death or sickness or disease. The operation, the working of the Spirit of life of Christ Jesus, the anointed one, the powerful one who lives in me. It has freed me and made me well. Free of disease, free of pain, free of affliction, free indeed. I'm free indeed. I'm free of sickness. I'm free of medication. I'm free of a bad report. I'm free. Christ has made me free. The anointing has made me free. I'm free. I'm free. Full of life. Full of health. Because Christ has redeemed me. Because by His stripes, I was healed. Because nothing of the enemy can be put upon me. Because healing is in God, and God is in me. Because life is in God, and God is in me. So the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in me right now. That same Spirit that raised Him up from the dead dwells in me. And I'm not even dead. But the same power, resurrection power, is alive in me. And it's raising me up right now. It's raising me up in life right now. It's raising me up in health right now. I'm being raised up in the power of God, in the life of God. All stuff, all sickness, all ailments, all afflictions, all pains, all sickness, all disease, all reports are going. They're gone. Out of here. Can't be. Can't exist in me because I'm free. Do something you couldn't do before. Come on, do something you couldn't do before. Test something out. See how your back feels. See how your shoulders feel. Come on, see how your knees feel. Come on, see how they feel. Hallelujah. But listen, I just want to remind you of something. The Word says that when we preach the Word, I have preached the Word. That Jesus confirms it. Amen. Amen. And it ain't me. It's all Him. He is the healer. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, let's just thank Him for a little bit. Come on, let's just thank God for a little bit. Come on, let's just thank Him for a little bit. Come on, just thank Him like you believe it, like it's really true, like tomorrow everything in your body is completely well and working. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory. You've redeemed us. Hallelujah. Glory to God from all destruction. You've redeemed us. Glory, glory. Glory, you've healed all our diseases and sicknesses. Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, we lay hold of it right now. We're holding on to the healing Word. We're holding on to that healing Word. We're not letting go. We're determined. We're persistent. According to the Word. It shall be according to the Word. It shall be. It shall be. It shall be. It shall be. For me. For me, it shall be according to the Word. Ha. According to the Word. I believe it. I believe the Word. And I believe I've taken hold of the Word today by faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I just really feel like today, I don't know how many people this affects, but really something in the area of muscles.
something in the area. I have seen Achilles tendons. I mean, I had a guy one time that came down on crutches, could barely walk. He was scheduled for surgery, and he threw those crutches off and took off running. He was running around the building. He ran outside. Young guy, he was like 21, done it some sports injury. Something in the muscles. So if you have a muscular issue of any point, a tear, a rip, a pull, or something that's bothered you, you just let the medicine, let the Word of God heal that. You just let the Word of God heal that. Absolutely. Absolutely. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. 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 We ought to be real happy right now. Everybody ought to be so happy. We have the best physician and the best medicine, and it's all free. Listen, you never have to wait for an appointment. You never go, and the doctor's not in today. He's never not in. Come on, the doctor's always available. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Are you good? Are you healed? Are you whole?
Thank you for joining us for the preaching of God's Word. We trust that your faith and your love for God is stronger than ever before. More information about Stevenson Ministries and Houston Faith Church is available online at houstonfaith.tv. Chaz and Joni Stevenson are the pastors of a dynamic, growing church in Houston, Texas, and have a New Testament vision of preaching the uncompromised Word of God with the power of the Holy Spirit, helping people get saved and building strong Christians who can impact their world. Houston Faith Church is a place where the love of God is real, where lives are changed, and where followers of Jesus become fishers of men.